This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar,
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم والذين كفروا فتعسى لهم وأضل أعمالهم. The fifth article of the Pledge of Al-Aqaba that I'm going to be sharing with you today is the final request the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made before the actual agreement took place. I have shared with you the first four articles that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam requested when he met with the Ansar at that very meaningful and magnificent night. The last night of Hajj of the 12th year of his prophecy, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the interesting piece that I always reflect on is that within those 2 years, the year number 11 and year number 12 of his prophecy, alayhi salatu wasalam, we have very little stories. If you go to the books of Seerah and you try to study what happened in year number 11, what happened in year number 12, you're not going to find a lot, maybe a page and a half or two, tops. Really what occurred was what was happening in Medina and this pledge. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emptied the seerah a little bit for this pledge to take place. For us to have something to reflect upon within this given period. Not to be distracted by other occurrences or other events. So we can focus on what actually happened. When the Ansar came to him alayhi salatu wasalam and accepted these articles that he asked for alayhi salatu wasalam. And he's asked for four things so far. He told them, I want as-sam' wa-t-ta'a fil manshati wal-makrah. I want you to adhere and to follow and to listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching. I'm not coming as a consultant. These aren't encouragements. These aren't recommendations. These are teachings. And you're going to adhere to them when it's easy and when it's difficult. They said yes. Then he asked alayhi salatu wasalam fil infaq, fil usri wal yusr. He asked for them to commit their wealth when they have a lot of it or when they don't have. And then alayhi salatu wasalam asked for al-amr al-ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. He asked them to commit to reforming social values, to commit to a change of a value system that they had. And they said yes. And then he asked them alayhi salatu wasalam an yaqumu fillahi la ya'khudhuhum fillahi lawmatu la'im, for them to prioritize this message, for them to put nothing before the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And they said yes. And the final thing that he asked, which may seem when you're studying this pledge to be something specific to his time, meaning I've heard this talked about before, where they point out the first four, and the fifth they said, well, this was specific to his time. Because he asked them alayhi salatu wasalam, fifth, lastly, he said, وَأَن تَنصُرُونِي وَتَمْنَعُونِي كَمَا تَمْنَعُونَ أَوْلَادَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ. He asked them that you will advocate and you will protect me as you protect your families and your wealth and your loved ones. And we say, well, that was specific to his context. It's not specific to his context, not at all. He wasn't asking alayhi salatu wasalam out of fear for his own life. He was at the time alayhi salatu wasalam the message. He was the representation of what Islam was at that time. Protecting him, alayhi salatu wasalam, was in fact protecting the message and protecting the deen and protecting the Quran and protecting the legacy of values that he brought, alayhi salatu wasalam, because at the time it wasn't even fully complete. Today you and I have the book. We have all of it. We have it from beginning to end with all of the details that it carries and all of the teachings that it contains. But at that point, only a half of it had been revealed. Only the Makki Qur'an had been revealed. Baqarah and Ali Imran and Nisa and Ma'idah and Anfal and Tawbah. All of these verses, all of these surahs had not been revealed yet. Juz al-Mujadala in totality had not been revealed yet. So for him, alayhi salatu, the message was not complete yet. So protecting him, alayhi salatu wasalam, was in fact just protecting the message itself, which applies today equally. And actually these four articles are not complete without the fifth. You adhere and you commit your wealth, and you change the values, and you prioritize the message, and then finally you have to protect it. You have to maintain it. You have to make sure it does not get manipulated and get changed. Is that not what happened to every other message that came before it? Why is it that we don't want to learn from history? What happened to the message of Ibrahim, and message of Musa, and message of Isa, alayhimu salatu wasalam ajma'in? What happened to the messages of all of the prophets who walked this earth, that brought forward different faiths that today are represented in the form of Hinduism or Buddhism or Confucianism or any other ism that exists on the planet? Are they not prophets who brought these teachings? Did these prophets not preach La ilaha illallah to their constituents and their followers? Yes, they did. What happened to all of these teachings? Did they not lose their essence? Did they not lose their compass? Did they not lose what values they actually had within them? Yes, they did. Time took care of that. And the corrupt hand of man. The corrupt hand of man always finds its way to mingle with everything. We find a way to put our hand into something pure and mess with it. Like three-year-olds. Show them anything beautiful, leave them with it for a few moments. They can't help it. It's an urge, it's an itch they have to scratch. They have to put their hands in it. They have to. We don't blame them when they do it because they're still living off their basic instincts. But it's not that different as we age. It's not that different. It doesn't change that much. We're still deep down inside the children that we once were. Never forget that. When you look at someone 70 and 80, they didn't prepare for that. They weren't born like that. They're not happy with that. They just creeped up on them over time. They weren't ready for it. This is not who they are. Deep down inside, they're still the grade 6 kid or grade 9 or maybe even younger. We all are on the inside. It's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. Remember that. And such, if we don't take care of how we behave, we will still make those same mistakes. We'll still take something pure and beautiful and we'll wreck it. And Islam is subject to that, as every other faith was subject to it. And every other faith lost it. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun," somehow we feel that means we don't have to worry about this. No, not at all. How do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the Quran? It wasn't divine intervention. It happened through the work and the effort and the dedication of the scholars, of the Sahaba, of the people who memorized this book word for word, who looked at the mouth of the person reciting and then emulated the mouth movements of the reciter and taught it the same way. And they dedicated their lives for that. That's how we still have this. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that as a part of his qada subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it didn't happen through some mystic method. No, it happened through the effort of people, of human beings. That's how he preserved this deen, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And since it happened that way, why do we think it's going to happen some other way today? If we don't protect this message, it will be ruined. It will be manipulated. It is being ruined today. We are at the forefront of trying to keep Islam what it once was. And if we don't, it will get lost. And it will be. That's what Yawm al-Qiyamah is. That's what Yawm al-Qiyamah is. Yawm al-Qiyamah is when it's messed up and it'll never find its way back. When Islam as a message has been lost. The essence of La ilaha illallah is lost. The book is there, but the values aren't. The knowledge is there. You can access it, but no one will. And no one's willing to. And that's long gone. Protecting this message is an obligation of every Muslim. You go to Surah Ali Imran, you find the surah talking about nothing but this point, to maintain the message. The first half talks about protecting it from external threats. Those who come from other faiths, those who are trying to destroy it from the outside. And the second half of the surah talks about protecting it from internal threats. I don't know what I should dedicate this khutbah to, but judging on everyone's occupations, I think it's safe to say we should talk about the internal threats. Unless I'm talking to a bunch of political leaders that actually make decisions across the land, I think we talk about the internal threats first. I think we talk about Ghazwat Uhud, for example, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَوَلَمَّا أَصَابَتْكُم مُصِيبَةٌ قَدْ أَصَبْتُم مِثْلَيْهَا قُلْتُم أَنَّ هَذَا. Now that you have endured a difficulty, that you have inflicted twice the amount of on your enemy, you're walking around saying, why did this happen to us? قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Say, this is from you. This is your doing. You did this. It came from you. You're the source of it. We continue to be the biggest threat to Islam. We always have been. As people, we continue to be, as Muslims, as practicing Muslims, we continue to be the biggest threat to this deen. And we always have been. And that has never changed and never will. He gave the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam a promise, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Islam will not be destroyed from an external force, that it will not be flattened, it will not be removed, it won't be wiped out. It's in Muslim and Ahmad and Tirmidhi. The hadith is long, and I've narrated it on this minbar a number of times. وَلَكِنْ يَقْتُلُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا وَيَسْبِي بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. But they, the Muslims amongst themselves, they will murder one another, and they will ruin each other's lives, and they will steal each other's wealth, and they will belittle one another, and they will disrespect each other, and they will put each other in difficult situations, and then ignore it. That's what they're going to do to each other. It's not going to come from the outside. I will not have the ground open and swallow them. I will not send upon them sawa'iq. I will not have an enemy come and destroy them and remove them. It's not going to happen. They're going to do it to themselves. If it happens, it will happen from them. When it happens, it will come only from them. Our obligation to protect the message. He asked them for that, alayhi salatu wasalam, you protect this as you do your families. You know why? Because when you protect the message as you protect your family, you actually are protecting your family. It works both ways. Protecting the message protects your family. Protecting Islam protects your family. Islam comes first because Islam is what's protecting your family. When you don't have that, you don't have a family to protect anymore. You don't have it. It gets lost. It disintegrates. It's not there anymore. We protect him, alayhi salatu wasalam, because he, in essence, is protecting us. In essence, you understand what I'm trying to, figuratively speaking here. If you understand what I'm saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, obviously, we protect what he taught and what he left, alayhi salatu wasalam, because what he left and what he taught is the only thing that's still protecting us and allowing us to exist the way we do, or else it's all lost. It's all lost. And if you're worrying, if you're thinking about, oh, and then other countries become strong and other, no. And then Nafikh al-Sur will take the sur and he'll blow into the horn and he'll flatten all of us. And then we'll come back and be held accountable. Worry about that, why don't you? Worry about that for once. Worry about that actually occurring, coming forward, being hastened through our behaviors, for the lack of our commitment that we are getting Nafikh al-Sur to wake up and stretch his vocal cords in preparation to pick it up and blow, because there's no hope in humanity anymore. That's what Yawm al-Qiyamah is. There's no hope. They've ruined everything. That's what Yawm al-Qiyamah is. Well, Allah says, you've ruined everything. You've ruined the land you live on. You've ruined the ethics I gave you. You ruined the values. You ruined the teachings. You ruined the practices. You've ruined your relationships. Nothing is working anymore. And there's no hope. فَانْفُخْ يَا نَافِخَ الصُّورِ. Blow in the horn and wipe them all out and leave them like that. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, فَيَمْكُثُوا. In one hadith it says, أَرْبَعِينَ. فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ مَا أَرْبَعِينَ. What's 40? فَقَالَ لَا أَلَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. 40 of what? No one knows, but no one's around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commands the blower of the horn, takes out everybody, and then all that is left is the blower of the horn and Malak al-Maut and Jibreel. So he tells Malak al-Maut, take the life of the blower of the horn. So he goes and he takes the life of the blower of the horn. Ya Malak al-Maut, go take go take the life of Ruh al-Qudus, of the Holy Spirit of Jibreel. So he goes, he takes the life of Jibreel. And then he says, oh, Malak al-Maut, go take the life of yourself. So Malak al-Maut takes the life of himself, and then no one. وَلَا يَبْقَى إِلَّا وَجْهُ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَبْقَى إِلَّا اللَّهِ كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَا شَيْءَ مَعْهُ وَهُوَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ كَائِنٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always been only Allah. It's always been only Allah. We are just here for a very short slither of time to just try something out. It's always been la ilaha illa hu. And it's going to go back to that. And no one will be around. No consciousness will exist aside from his own essence subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what's coming. That's what our behaviors may bring upon. The end of this beautiful story. End of this experience of existence. And then after that, all that's left is accountability. All that's left are the questions of why you didn't do better. Why couldn't you have prevented this? What steps did you take? What measures did you put in place? What did you dedicate your life for? What were you doing? All those breaths that you took for free, what did you do with them? The food you ate and the water you drank and the land you walked, what did you do with that time? And then we have to answer for all of it. We have to answer for all of it. That's why we protect it. We protect it. To the best of our abilities, we protect this. Because it's the most valuable thing we have. There's nothing more valuable than the pure truth that exists in that book on that shelf. And the teachings that Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam left us with afterwards. And once we stop protecting it from those who are trying to destroy it from the outside and those who are trying to eat at it from the inside, then it will crumble and it will go away. And you and I have to figure out in which category we're going to be Yawm al-Qiyamah. Were we those who enabled that? Were we those who helped that happen? Or are we standing on the other side pushing back to the best of our ability? To the best of our ability pushing back. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. إخواني أخواتي, في هذه الأسابيع القليلة والعصر قد اقترب إلى الثانية والنصف, اعذروني على قلة الكلام باللغة العربية وأعوض إن شاء الله تعالى هذا في المستقبل القريب. لكن النقطة الخامسة والبند الخامس من بنود بيعة العقبة المباركة التي فيها بايع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الأنصار وذهب إليهم وكان من وعاش بينهم ودفن بينهم عليه الصلاة والسلام, كان أن يمنعوه وأن ينصروه, أن يمنعوا هذا الدين وهذه الرسالة وهذا الكتاب. فكان ممثل الإسلام عليه الصلاة والسلام في زمانه, فأن تمنعه هو عليه الصلاة والسلام هو أن تمنع هذا الدين. ولو كان يقصد ذاته الشريفة ما خرج إلى الجهاد يومه ولا حمل السيف ولا كان أقرب الناس إلى العدو عليه الصلاة والسلام. ولا صدق فيه قول الإمام علي إذ قال كان إذا حمي الوطيس احتمينا برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. لو كان يقصد أن يحموه هو نفسه, لا, وإن من يحمو هذا الدين وبقيت حماية هذا الدين مهمة وواجبا على كل مسلم إلى قيام الساعة, بل لا تأتي الساعة إلا وقد خرج هذا المعنى من قلوب البشر أجمعين. I'm going to end this khutbah with a story. Once there was a wise man, lived in a city amongst his peers and friends. And this city was crumbling. It was falling to pieces. Everything in the city was failing. People were very upset. The economy was not doing very well. The value system was losing its essence. People's behaviors had changed. People's ethics and thoughts had changed. The society was no longer as strong and united as it once was. Everything was going south, and people were very, very upset, and they were arguing, and they were discussing, and they were asking questions, and they were panicking. This wise man came and said, I know who's responsible for this. I know who's responsible. So they came to him and said, please, let us know who's responsible so that we may remove, so that we may fix things. He said, inshallah, I will let you know who's responsible. But I want everyone to gather in the city hall, and I will do an unveiling, and I will show you all who's responsible. So they all gathered in the middle of the city hall, and there was a large curtain, and people were standing there. All night long and all morning, all they did was talk amongst themselves of who they thought it was, thinking, I think it's Fulan. And they were, I'm pretty sure it's Fulan. For the last year, I've noticed things on how he's behaving. I'm pretty sure he's been the one who's stealing all of our wealth, and he's the one who's corrupt, and he's the one who's pulling all these negative strings and ruining all of us. And they're talking about things. And he told them that at the unveiling, he will pull out those who are responsible and expose them. So as they're standing there, they're looking around and they're seeing people. Like, oh, it's not Fulan because he's here. I must have been wrong. And they look, oh, it's not Fulan because he's also here. And once he revealed and unveiled, he unveiled the largest mirror they had ever seen. And they stood there as they stared at the image of themselves. And they stared at the image of themselves. And he explained to them, the real reason, the real one responsible for all of this is the one that you look at in the mirror right now. So they laughed and they blamed him and killed him. And that's how the story ends. It's a beautiful story, really. It's a story of every prophet and every messenger and every reformist that ever existed. Every prophet came to his people, told the same thing. You need to change. You need to start. It has to start with you. And they said, no, something else needs to happen. Do something different. Tell us something different. Something else. No, none of this. What is this rubbish? I have to change. And I have to change my ways. No. Figure it out. Talk to your Lord. Let him do something different. اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا. Go, you do it. You fix it. Come back. We're not changing anything. And that's why they've killed their prophets throughout history. It's because no one actually wants to accept the possibility that I am to blame for this. No, someone else is to blame. Ya Habibi, the evil will always be evil. There's always going to be people who are corrupt. There's always going to be people who are greedy. There's always going to be people who are going to put themselves above everyone else. That's a part of being alive. Why is it that the oppressive was able to be oppressed? Why is it that the corrupt was able to be corrupt? Why is it that the one who transgressed was allowed to transgress to begin with? Who's responsible for that? Who's responsible for that? Yeah, no one likes that answer. So I won't tell you. It's up to you. I'd rather live my life. But it's the same answer that every prophet has ever offered. And it's when they listened to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, really listened to him, and accepted that possibility, and said, yeah, maybe it is me. Maybe it is me. And once they believed it was them, and they made the changes that were required, it all changed. It was transformed. The whole thing was transformed. As people, they were different. They behaved differently. They believed in themselves differently. They saw the potential of things that no one else saw. Who would have thought? It's impossible, wallahi. It's impossible to believe what actually occurred had it not occurred. Like, you could never imagine that a couple of people living in the middle of a desert, in the middle of nowhere, were going to at some point be able to establish the largest empire that the world has ever seen for the longest amount of time. And it happened in a record period. It's a record amount of time. It's a record. 35 years. I'm going to be 35 years from nothing, from no governance in an area where there are no resources and no belief systems and no leadership. 35 years, they are ruling three continents? Nah, that's a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale, isn't it? Something you tell you. No, it's not. It happened. He led the way, alayhi salatu wasalam. He taught people something. They learned it. He pointed out what they needed to do, so they did it. And a part of that was protecting this message. Protecting it with all that we have, with all that we are. We protect it from those who come from the outside. We protect it from ourselves on the inside, because we ruin the message most when we don't represent it appropriately, when we show off ethics that aren't Islamic, when we behave in ways that have nothing to do with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught, when we treat people that way, that is the biggest threat for this deen. And that's why he said that, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he led every army. If he was talking about himself, he wouldn't have led armies. He would have stayed home. nice and cozy. You have sat back in every battle, right? You have sat back and told people what to do because the priority is to protect himself. No. Ali says, radiallahu anhu, the closest person amongst us to the enemy was Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. The closest one amongst us to the enemy, the closest one was the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Never, never did he back out. Never was he afraid. Never did he allow someone else to do his job for him alayhi salatu wasalam, ever. Why did he say that? Because they understood what he meant. They understood what he meant. And he knew what he was asking them. تَمْنَعُونِي وَتَنْصُرُونِي. You stand by what I brought, what I'm teaching, my legacy. He's not asking for his own life, alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajma'in. He was asking for something much more meaningful. And they understood that and they lived that. And those are the five articles that he asked for, alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm going to summarize them for you, inshallah ta'ala, next week. I hope that was a benefit to you. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم احقن دماء إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم احقن دماءهم في فلسطين وفي لبنان وفي السودان وفي باكستان وفي غيرها من بلاد الأرض يا رب العالمين اللهم رد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين أخرج الصهاينة منه أذلة صاغرين وارزقنا أجمعين فيه صلاة قبل الممات اللهم تب علينا أجمعين توبة نصوحة طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي